Oh, wait. Put down the microphone closer to me. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Friday, February 20th, 2015, just after 3 UTC as we're recording. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with us again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello!
Hello.
And Alex is over here too, trying to be quiet and playing
the
game.
You know, I just said that hello, and I realized that of all the topics we put down that we did, you know, we talked about, did you see the SNL 40th anniversary show?
I've got it on my TiVo. I have not watched it yet.
You have not watched it. Okay, well then I can't. Then I won't spoil it for you. It's good. I mean, obviously there's some points it gets long and whatever.
I've heard a number of people talk about it and say whether they liked it or didn't.
But
like
there were like certain parts that were just freaking just off the wall hilarious. I mean, they were just, you know, I mean, they're just
were they the new parts, or are you referring to clips of old things?
No, new parts they did. They were okay. Just off the wall freaking hilarious. Okay, all right. I mean, it was just I think, you know, they did this Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah,
the Celebrity Jeopardy was hilarious. My God. They had Bill and Mary singing live, which is just hilarious. And the reason why I said hello, and it's just, it reminded me of Seinfeld, because they had Jerry Seinfeld on with Larry David, and they had this segment that Jerry did, which is also hilarious. It had quite a lot of good moments and stuff. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I'll eventually watch it. I have it on my TiVo.
It's long. You know, in some parts it gets, you know, you get a little bit of it's dull or whatever, but in the end, you know, it's well worth watching it.
Well, along those lines, I just saw something go across Twitter, and we'll get to our real topics in just a second, promise, guys. But you know, I have not clicked through to the article, but the headline is Colorado Theater accidentally shows 50 Shades of Grey to audience waiting to see SpongeBob.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's perfect. Yes, I love that.
Exactly. So,
well, did they show the whole? Oh, come on. Did people like go and say, hey, what the hell?
You would imagine that they probably corrected it in the first few minutes.
I would think, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens in the digital age now. You know, I mean, before you had to have a big reel and you had to take it over there. And
well, even so, I don't know if you've been in a theater lately when they have done some sort of screw up. It takes a little while because the whole crowd sort of starts grumbling, right, and is something wrong. And then they have to go find someone, because most of these aren't manned anymore. It's automated.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that, I mean, when you have to carry a reel like that, well, it's kind of more difficult to get the confused.
Right. You know, but also when you had the reel, there was generally someone sitting up there with the projector. Or like, right, a lot of the times there's nobody even sitting up there. You have to go find
what's going
a manager
on out there, and they would say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
So
anyway, we do have some real topics today. We're going to, where did I put it? Oh, there we go. We're going to talk about radicalism, ISIS, Israel, Libya, the Copenhagen attack, all of that kind of, you know, Middle East-y kind of stuff, although it's not all technically Middle East at this point. We are going to talk about a number of sort of cybersecurity type issues that came up this week. There were issues with Lenovo, and then there were a couple NSA spying type of things with this program called the Equation Group. And then more recently, came out about theft of a bunch of stuff from Gemalto, which is a security company responsible for SIMs and cell phones and a whole bunch of other stuff. Then we're going to talk about some Apple stuff, that all the Apple Car rumors. Johnny Ive has been out giving interviews. And then finally, we'll wrap it up with a lightning round, because people seem to like that. So, yep. I did get one piece of feedback on that I'll throw in now instead of saving it for the lightning round, which was our loyal listener, Matt. Said that they listened to our last two podcasts, and sorry we didn't get feedback earlier, but he was away for a week. But he likes the lightning round. He thinks it's a good way to get us to talk about more things than just the three or four segments for 15 minutes. But he thinks maybe 2 minutes is a little too short, and maybe we should try 3 minutes, because we seem to go over the 2 minutes anyway.
Well, I think the problem is that, you know, look, we keep it at 2, so we don't go to 3. So, right. Like, it's just happened right now.
Yeah, because,
so,
like, yeah. The timer went off, and you'll notice right. We're still talking.
Right.
So we set the timer for a little bit less than what we actually intend. So we know it's not like the timer goes off and we shut up. It's the timer goes off and we know we have to wrap it up.
Right. Exactly. So,
and
all
Alex
right.
is beeping too. So anyway, we're also trying something a little bit different too, which is we're doing our little intro segment. We're just going to try to do 5 minutes and then have a break and then go to our real topics. So
since we already did 5 minutes,
we're taking a break and we'll be back with our real topics right after this.
Okay, Mr. Beep 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 beep. Beep beep.
Beep 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 beep.
Oh, there it is.
Beep 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 beep. Beep, beep, beep.
Okay, are you gonna stop beeping so we can record more?
Beep.
Okay.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, and welcome back. So, now.
Beep, beep, beep,
okay,
beep,
you gotta stop
beep,
beeping or I'm gonna get your mom to come carry you away. Next up, radicalism, Islam, ISIS, Israel, Libya, Copenhagen, blah, blah, blah. We had a number of events happen this week. One, we had... And I'll try to do these somewhat in order. We had an attack in Copenhagen, which was very similar to the attack in Paris a while back, at least in general structure, although it was a lot smaller. It appears to just be like the one guy, and he's got sort of a gang history kind of thing going on. And so we had that happen. We had ISIS kill a bunch of people in Libya, which was a new place for them. We've got Israel, Netanyahu sort of inviting all Jews throughout Europe to just come to Israel to get away from all the violence in Europe. We've got this whole debate going on with people criticizing Obama for not saying that ISIS is Islamic based. So where do you want to start in this? We've got a few minutes. Got to do it quick.
Let's go with the radicalism.
Well, this is all radicalism. Which part of it?
Let's go to let's start with the attack.
Okay. Which one?
The Denmark one. For okay. God's sakes, Jesus. Shit.
Confusion
reigns. Oh, this is... Oh, God. No, let's start with the Libya one. Okay? All right? With the whole mass beheading thing.
Yes.
Well...
So what do you think?
Here's a question I've got. And I actually wanted to research this before we got on the show, but I didn't get a chance.
Of course. We know.
What is the position... What is the position on Islam, which is going out and murdering somebody? I mean... Is Islam not like other religions where, like, murder is, like, considered a capital sin?
This is a complicated question, and it's a complicated question just like it is in all religions if you pay attention to them. Like, for instance, in Christianity, while there are indeed, you know, the going back to Moses and Judaism, thou shalt not kill.
Yes.
And Jesus' yeah. various talks. But at the same time, there are many places in the Bible where people are killed for all kinds of reasons in all kinds of gruesome ways with approval of God, you know. And so It's all an interpretive thing. And one of the articles that I was going
to... Well, as all religion is, by the way.
Well, of course. What I was going to mention is one very good article that I tweeted, and I'll point everybody to, and I asked Yvonne beforehand, and he hadn't read it. But there's in the Atlantic... there was an article called, what was it? ISIS something. Oh, what does ISIS really want or something like that? I forget the exact, it was a cover story. It was very long, but it was very good. 'Cause basically it got into, you know, yes, indeed. ISIS considers themselves, regardless of whatever else you think, they consider themselves a religious movement. They consider themselves to be following a very specific view of what Islam says should be done in certain circumstances, and it is a core part of their belief system. And it goes into detail about sort of the theological underpinnings and where it comes from and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And of course... just like with anything else, it's, you know, this is not saying this is what Islam says. This is saying this is what ISIS says Islam says. And they compare it to sort of, you know, what would David Koresh's organization have ended up with if they'd ended up with tens of thousands of people controlling a bunch of land? You know, so it's, you know, but it is a very interesting article. I highly recommend it. The answer to your question is basically, sure, you can find things within the tradition that say murder is bad in all circumstances. You can also find things that say murder is perfectly okay in these situations. But when we say that, you got to be careful, because exactly the same thing is true of Christianity. Exactly the same thing is true of Judaism, and undoubtedly several other religions as well. And it's just a matter of where people put the emphasis, what they treat literally, what they take as, you know, sort of allegory, and people come to these things with very different viewpoints. But that doesn't mean that, you know, and this brings up one of the debates I had on this list, is sort of the criticism of Obama for refusing to say outright that, you know, these are Islamic terrorists or anything of that sort. And one thing I wanted to point out specifically is, you know, he's saying things like they're perverting Islam, blah, blah, blah. And people are calling him out and saying, you know, call it what it is. It's Islamic terrorism. Here are the reasons why he doesn't. First of all, Obama and his administration aren't idiots. They know these people are religiously motivated. They know these people are doing things in the name of Islam. The reason to not say it in that way has several factors. One, is if you say that, it legitimizes them in their own view, because it sort of acknowledges their view that they are the correct interpreters of Islam. Two, it sets up a, it's very easy to slip into characterizing all Muslims as opposed to these particular brand of radical Muslims. Third, it's just a way to tweak them. Every time he says they're anti-Islamic, he's sort of poking them in their core belief. I had like four on my list, and I'm going to blank on it. But there are a number of pragmatic reasons here where he's trying to do it to specifically get a specific effect. And, you know, it's kind of cynical, because it's trying to manipulate what you're saying in order to, for the political effect, rather than just saying outright, well, of course, you know, they are Islamic, they're radical Islamic, they're crazy Islamic, they're not mainstream Islamic, but they are. But it's more expedient in a variety of ways to say they're corrupting Islam in terms of trying to encourage potentially, for instance, the moderate Muslims to take our side on this. Whereas if we paint it as a, you know, Islam versus the West, you're driving a knife in the middle of that in exactly where we don't want it to be. We want to isolate just this little group. We don't want to do something which sort of puts this as a, you know, civilizational conflict across, you know, the whole universe, which is, of course, what a lot of people would like it to be.
Well, you know, I just looked up while you were talking about this, right, and going to that reasoning. This thing with the where they have like the – I looked up a – a website. I'm not going to say it's the authority on it that has like the sins of you commit in Islam. Okay, all right. I mean, they got some really crazy shit in here. Okay, that, well, I mean, for example,
yes. So is Leviticus. Look that up too. You know, so
not from the Ten Commandments has some pretty. You know, if you take the just the I'm talking. These are like the commandments, right? Okay, if I'm looking at this chart.
Well,
if
you look at the. But that's exactly where people dispute it. Like, what is important and what is not, and different people will come at that differently. Go ahead, though.
Well, I mean, but some of the, you know, there's actually, and I guess the part on the murder part is that it says that murder is bad if you're only really killing believers.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really say anything about the non-believers. Now, of course, it doesn't say you should go out and just kill non-believers. Okay, but apparently, I guess if you take this and you torture it, I guess you just, you know, you say, well, you know, you're killing non-believers. Fuck them all.
Yeah, well, and look, this is, again, it comes down to, like, how do you interpret these things? And, you know, you've just like you've got, you know, I mean, you come from a Catholic tradition, but that doesn't mean that, you know, everything you ever do in your life, even before you became a lapsed Catholic, was modeled after every single thing that the church officially said.
Well, I may not be a practicing Catholic, but I'm still a practicing Christian. Okay, all right, I do go to Christian church. Okay, so, you know, the reality is that most of the commandments aren't that, you know, the differences between one church or another have to do with more with the practice and not so much with,
there are a lot of differences in emphasis too. I mean, if you go to a religiously conservative Baptist church in the South, you're going to have a dramatically different experience than if you go to what they call a mainline Protestant church in like the Northwest.
No, I get that. I get that.
It's
almost an entirely different religion,
but they both call themselves Christian. And I wouldn't want to be the one that says, well, no, the Southern Baptists are distorting the true Christianity, but, you know, these guys
I think the whole thing that I was seeing, and this goes back, there's an article that is in the New York Times about I believe it's still on the cover of the website of New York Times, and probably, well, let me see if I pull up the name of it, but they did a study about a kid in Egypt who got radicalized and went to fight for ISIS and actually killed certain people. And he is he has an account on Twitter and he's shown pictures of how he's murdered people and so forth. And they went back and they interviewed his family. I don't recall them. Actually, they did interview his father. They interviewed his father, his family, but spent a lot of time with his friends. And I think the one thing that you could see was, so think about the culture overall in Muslim countries and how the whole thing about him going and like almost going there was him basically being continuously taught how being attracted to women sexually was a awful sin.
Yeah.
And how that basically made him be just an evil person that would never, be in heaven, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And how this just, as a teenager, just led this kid into into just a crazy thing where he just joined ISIS in order to, what, because of like a whole bunch of sexual prejudice that, and like sexual repression that is happening in a country, because these guys were basically told that anytime you look at a woman and you're attracted to them and you want to have sex with them, you're sinning every time. And
they're not the only religion that sometimes says that. So
But I don't think that they have an entire culture surrounding the, right. them, because in a country that is like that, we certainly don't have that here. We certainly have religions to talk about that, but certainly we don't have a country culture like that, and we don't have that in Western society. I mean, sex is sex. I mean, it is what it is, you know? And yes, we do have religions to talk about.
And that's changed a lot over the years too. And, you know, so anyway, we're over time here, but do you have the name of your article?
No, but okay, I'll try to see if I find it quickly, and I'll forward it to.
So I did get my article. It's What ISIS Really Wants by Graham Wood. It's the March cover story in the Atlantic magazine, and it's also available online. Of course,
the video is called "Three Friends and One Jihadi." It's on the cover of the New York. It's on the New York Times video. There is a video, and there is an article that covers that as well.
So, okay. I will try to read the one that Yvonne is mentioning. I would highly recommend this "What ISIS Really Wants" one. It's got a lot of background stuff.
What does ISIS want? ISIS wants to purify the world into their own fucking worldview.
It's not only that. It's an apocalyptic thing. They believe what they're doing is bringing on the apocalypse and the end of the world. So it's actually very interesting. Read the whole thing. It's long, but it's worth it. And it's background. And again, on the Obama stuff, I guarantee you, Obama knows all this shit.
All of the way he's saying stuff
is specific posturing for specific purposes. It's planned out. It's not because he's stupid and he doesn't understand that this Islamic, this radical Islam is part of this. Like, there's all this thing. I mean, he said it was random. Oh, come on, bullshit. He knows. Anyway, we need to take that break. See, this is why we set the timer for 10 minutes, knowing we would probably take 15. Okay, anyway. we will be right back right after this. Here we go. So next, I want to do the computer security stuff next. So we've got three things that were on the agenda today. First, the first two were all NSA spying, the British equivalent of NSA, GQ, whatever they are, blah, blah, blah. The first one was this thing called the Equation Group, which it was uncovered by Kapersky. How do you say it? Kapersky? Anyway, the Russian security firm that does antivirus software. And by the way, I have seen...
Isn't that a contradiction in terms? But anyway.
What? Russian security? What?
Yes.
Well, I actually have seen a few things saying that this company is actually, you know, fairly tied in with KGB. You know, the guy who runs it had some connections there and blah, blah, blah. You know, so anyway... they uncovered also, but Also, by the way, they have a reputation as a fairly legitimate security firm with good antivirus software, et cetera, blah, blah, blah.
They do.
It may also be a KGB plant at the same time. Of course, KGB doesn't exist anymore. I know. There's a successor organization.
FSB.
Whatever. It's still the KGB.
It's still the KGB.
Anyway.
Newton had his way. I mean, I don't know. He has his way for most of the stuff in Russia. I'm surprised he hasn't just changed the name back to fucking KGB.
Yeah. Anyway. The point was, it goes into detail of all kinds of hacking methods that were used to infiltrate computer networks of all sorts of different kinds. And there's a lot of technology that's used to jump air gaps so that you can get at networks that aren't connected to the internet. The specific thing that they mentioned was a good part of the software actually implants itself onto the firmware of hard drives, which basically makes it invisible to the operating system and such that even if you wipe the hard drive, it remains, makes it very, very difficult to detect, very difficult to remove, all of this kind of stuff. And there's evidence that a lot of this, part of what the standard mechanism, and this part was reported before, is that they is interception of packages. So like somebody would order, a targeted person would order a laptop or whatever. Well, guess what? The package wouldn't go straight to them. It would get intercepted along the way. They would tamper with the device. They would inject these kinds of things like that. And that's actually one of the things that, look, the capabilities listed here are incredibly scary. And the fact that they're possible indicates, once again, just how bad our security infrastructure really is.
Well, they used to be
I just wanted to make this point. Even the article that pointed this out, made pains to mention that a lot of the infrastructure that was contained in these malicious exploits appeared to have the purpose of ensuring that it was highly targeted. So there are all sorts of things in there that basically said, don't activate unless you're on the computer belonging to this guy.
Right.
Or this organization or something very specific. On the one hand, you've got this sort of, oh my God, just look how bad security is. This kind of shit should not be even possible. If NSA and company, like, remembered both parts of their job, the second part of which is defense against security exploits, we'd be taking a very different approach to, trying to fix these things rather than trying to exploit them. But at the same time, it does look like there were all kinds of very careful protections to try to target these things very closely. Now, obviously, there's some flaws in that because they got caught. They believe that this was probably what was used to deploy Stuxnet in the first place. And of course, Stuxnet had a bug that eventually made it go wild and not just after the people who it was targeted for. So this was thing number one. Thing number two, that was also an NSA/British intelligence joint venture, is apparently they stole the master keys for a whole, apparently potentially millions of SIM cards by infiltrating a company called Gemalto. Gemalto is a security company. They make SIM cards for almost every major cell phone provider in the world, including, all your favorite Apple and Android products on AT&T and Sprint and T-Mobile and all the major American carriers. Basically what this lets you do is once you have these keys, you can just, encrypted or not, you can essentially just listen in with a radio and decrypt anything that comes through if you have the key to that particular cell phone. So what this lets you do is there are all sorts of mechanisms in place where, you know, you can get a warrant and you can request a wiretap and you can work with the cell phone company or with the local governments. Like, you know, if you want to tap somebody in Germany, you have to work with the Germans and go through procedures and get a wiretap and blah, blah, blah. If you've got these keys, you don't have to do any of that shit. You just listen. You just have you stick up an antenna and you just listen. Now, again, you have to have the specific SIM card of the person you want to surveil. Right. But apparently they got millions of these things.
Right.
You know, so basically they have the capability of just sitting down in the middle of a major city and listening to whatever the hell they want, because a good portion of the traffic is going to be stuff they can listen to. And it is interesting, some of the mechanisms that they talked about in terms of how this was, how they stole this stuff. They didn't get into all of the potential details, but here are a few of the things. First of all, in the early days, these companies that do these SIM cards were just complete and total fucking idiots. Because what happens is, by the way, the keys are generated at the time they manufacture the card. But then the key has to be given to the cell phone company, because that's how the cell phone company talks to the phone. They make an encrypted connection, they both have the key, and it works. So the one version of the key gets embedded into the SIM card that goes in the phone. The other one gets transmitted to the cell phone company so they can talk to the phone. And so the manufacturer of the SIM cards was emailing the damn keys in plain text to the cell phone companies.
Ah, beautiful.
Apparently they got better about that over time. But it started out like, that's just, okay, you're an idiot. Okay. But then they've also, apparently a good portion of this was spying on employees of Gemalto in order to try to find, basically break into the network. So what they would do is they'd start out by noticing that certain of the employees of the company had, for instance, Gmail or Yahoo accounts or things like that. And one of the revelations from over a year ago was that they had all these mechanisms in place to monitor those kinds of web-based email services. So they just start watching the guy's email and look for clues that would identify, first of all, which employees had knowledge that was interesting, which ones didn't, and then try to basically do social engineering type attacks to get into the network and then take over the network. And apparently there's some of these documents have folks bragging that they'd completely taken, you know, had full run of the entire Gemalto network and everything that was available anywhere on it, including all of these keys. Now, I should mention that there's a question here of what else, because Gemalto is one of the biggest makers of these SIM cards in the world, but they also make all kinds of other things. They make those little two-factor authentication tokens that you use to log into corporate networks. They make hardware authentication things for all kinds of other devices, for building entry keys, the stupid keys you use to get into hotel rooms, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so, you know, basically you can assume all of this stuff has been compromised. This company is based out of Denmark, and the company is basically saying, "Okay,
it was
this
compromised by the NSA." So,
well, it's actually British intelligence was the leader on this with an NSA assist.
Okay, so
But here's the thing: as with most of these things, the problem is that once the NSA did it first, and this applies to both this compromise and the one we were talking about firmware hard on hard drives and all this kind of stuff. But the fact that NSA can do it means that anybody can do it. Now, they may be a little slower. They may be a little bit slower to get to it because they don't have the resources of the NSA. But maybe that means NSA has a 1-year head start, or maybe a 3-year head start. You're going to have this thing. So, like, the vulnerability exists. And so if the NSA can find it, first of all, forget, like, you know, dinky little hackers in their mom's basement or whatever. If the NSA can do it, you can be damn sure China can do it. You can be damn sure Russia can do it. And so...
I will say this. You know, as far as we can tell from everything that's going out there, I mean, I'm giving the creative edge to the NSA.
Well, yes, there is potentially some evidence that NSA is more advanced in these efforts than some of the other major countries in the world. But two things there. One, we don't know that for sure. The other countries may have just been better at keeping the shit a secret. Or even if we are ahead, again, once the fact that the vulnerabilities are out there means the vulnerabilities are out there. Maybe we find them. Maybe NSA finds them 6 months, a year, 2 years ahead of other people. But they're out there. They will be exploited.
This goes back to the assumption that you and I had said this is about everything in life right now. There's nothing so fucking secret.
Nope.
It's just not. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know, look, you want to really keep a secret to a certain extent? Better than that? Write it on paper. What do you want me to tell you? Keep it in your house. And even that's not foolproof.
No, it's not. You know, but yeah, it's time to just smash all the electronics.
Yeah, you know. Basically.
Yeah, the internet, it's broken. It's done. Get rid of it.
Right. You know, just keep everything on paper and notepads.
More seriously, and we mentioned this in regard to Sony and other companies a couple weeks ago, all of this really points out that security has been dramatically neglected.
In
all of these systems, they've been made for convenience.
Passwords are terrible. I mean, my God, you know, just passwords and shit.
Passwords are terrible. Physical security on these things are terrible. How easy it is to get past things through social engineering is terrible.
And like I said, and most companies still don't give a damn.
And I'd say, like, you're hearing more and more and more of these. And either that mindset's going to change, or everybody is going to, like you said, just throw up your hands and say, well, fuck it. You know, we can't stop anybody who really wants your shit is going to get your shit. And we just all have to live with that.
Yep. Basically.
The one other thing, and we are over time, but I just want to throw out there is Lenovo laptops. Lenovo was caught having software on their default install. So if you go and buy a Lenovo laptop and open it up, part of what's there on the day you open it up was software that injects ads into your web browsing. So like, you know, you could be going to whatever website and the software would replace whatever ad was actually on the website with an ad inserted by Lenovo that Lenovo is paid to put on there. So that's bad enough. Like, yeah, that's not exactly the behavior I want out of my computer. Okay.
Not particularly, no.
You know, and by the way, Samsung was caught. It was doing something similar with their TVs, like where they're inserting their own ads.
Yeah.
But also not something I want out of my TV. But in any case, it's worse than that because Lenovo did it in such a way that it breaks HTTPS encryption. So that they're inserting this stuff into your supposedly secure stream. It's effectively a man in the middle attack on what you're doing because, you know, it's exactly what they're doing. They're replacing what you're supposed to get from the website you're looking at with something else. But they break the encryption so that basically if you have the key that is used within this software, which is apparently the same key on every copy of this software on every Lenovo laptop in the world, which has, of course, been reverse engineered and found by people who care. If you have that key, you can then observe any traffic that's supposedly secure, essentially in plain text. So if you've got this software on your Lenovo computer,
can the software be easily uninstalled?
I believe there are now removal tools out there and detection tools. I haven't followed up on that. But the bottom line is, you know, even if you can't, most people aren't going to know, aren't going to care. And what this ends up being is every time you go to your bank site and you think everything's all nice and secure because you have that padlock in the corner. Nope. It's wide open to anybody who, you know, knows what they're doing and wants to find it.
Basically, don't buy a freaking Lenovo computer.
Yeah.
That would be my first advice. What else could I say?
But you know, this is not unique. I mean, if you remember,
I get it.
What was it? Which cell phone company was caught? Was it Verizon? Who's caught doing something very similar on basically any web browsing going through the Verizon network, the Verizon cellular network? I forget if it was Verizon or one of the others. I am thinking Verizon. And inserting perma cookies that you can't get rid of and
doing. Oh, yes. Gosh, I was just reading about that today, and I can't remember who it is you were talking about.
But, you know, this is all of them are trying to do shit like this because they're trying to figure out any mechanism they can to monetize. And so they're doing all of these really fucking scummy things. And it's scummy enough as it is. But if you screw it up so that you're also messing up people's security while you're at it, you've.
Well, AT&T, I know the one that I just recall, AT&T was offering. I think it was gigabit internet in some places, $70 a month. Gigabit internet without us doing any of that scummy shit, add $30.
Right.
Well, at least I do give them credit. They were openly saying, hey, if you're only paying the $70, we have the right to put these ads and to do this and to do this, blah, 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 blah. Hey, you don't want any of that. Give us 30 extra bucks.
Well, at least they offer the option, right?
At least they offered the option. That was like what a whole bunch of people that I was reading were saying. Hey, you know what? Let's give credit to AT&T that they actually are giving you the option to pay extra to opt out of that crap.
Well, and remember, this is not particularly new either. If you remember back in the AOL floppy disk days, and of course we're dating ourselves again, there were alternative internet service providers who were free.
Which was the
but
one
you
that
got a little frame a of advertising around whatever.
Which was the one
that
was giving a computer for free or close to free, but it was just full of ads.
Yeah,
I can't. Do you recall this one?
There were several. I mean, the bottom line is all this shit is crap. It is crap.
I think it was Packard Bell had a whole bunch of those. I can't remember who the hell else.
All of this is crap, and like. I understand everybody's trying to squeeze out every bit of money they can, but like, frankly, you know, this is one of the arguments that gets in, you know, it just pisses me off. And the thing is that, you know, the way the market works, you know, it's people are going to keep trying it. And they're going to take advantage of people. And I mean, maybe that's okay. If people want to trade off and get the ads.
Do you realize they still sell
it's fundamentally
Packard.
What Google does with Gmail, too. I mean, they're throwing ads.
And they tell you. But, you know, it's like, hey, it's free. By the way, do you realize that Packard Bell still sells computers in Europe and Africa? Fuck, I had no idea. Well, they got bought out, obviously. They went, you know, they had all gold.
We're at 20 minutes for our 10-minute segment.
All right,
so let's stop. We'll be back after this, and we'll talk about some of the Apple stuff. Back after this. Hey, you, listeners. We know you have thoughts about the stuff we say here on Curmudgeon's Corner. You probably think we're completely wrong about many things. Or perhaps you want to tell us that we're geniuses. That's always great. Or perhaps you just want to suggest a topic for us to talk about. All of these things are wonderful. We love to hear from you. So talk to us. If you prefer email, just email Sam. That's me, your prime curmudgeon, at abulsme@abulsme.com. That's spelled A-B-U-L-S-M-E. Or tweet at us. I'm at abulsme, and Yvonne is at I-M-B-O. That's I-M-B-O-U. And while we may not do it every time, don't be surprised if we respond to you right here on the show during an upcoming episode. Thanks, everybody. We'll be looking for your email and tweets, so get right on that. And here we go, Apple. So first of all, Apple Car.
There's not going to be a fucking Apple Car. Now, I do believe that they are building what is similar to a car in order to experiment with building technology to integrate with vehicles. That's what I think that they're doing.
So
I don't think Apple's rolling.
I think they're certainly doing that. However,
By the way, I did not tell you that we did replace a stereo in my wife's car with an aftermarket stereo that does include Apple CarPlay.
Oh, how do you like it?
Actually, it is good when it works. There are still some quirks to it. It's not bug free.
Okay.
I feel like I'm playing with a beta. Okay. But when the beta's working, it works really good. The navigation, I mean, I've had multiple people come in the car, is fantastic. It really obliterates almost any other navigation we've used.
Now, are you limited only to the Apple Maps navigation, or can you use any nav app on your phone? No,
we've been using the Apple Maps. I haven't tried to use any other navigation.
Okay.
I will tell you that the Apple Maps on the car were fantastic. Okay, all right, it's really good. Really easy to control audio, really easy to take calls.
But fundamentally,
the text messaging, Siri, the only quirks have been sometimes in terms of activating Siri, sometimes it like stops earlier than you want. But it's, for example, it's really nice to be in the car and all of a sudden you have a calendar reminder coming up. You know, you have your phone tucked and all of a sudden.
Let me put it this way. If you know, my daughter has her car. It's got a crappy old original stereo in it. At some point in the next year, we're probably going to upgrade it to an aftermarket. Given how the extra price premium on CarPlay right now, would you go for the CarPlay or would you get another?
Absolutely.
Okay. And what you're saying about it being a beta and everything.
Yeah, because they're coming out with firmware updates all the time. I mean, you know, you stick the frickin' I did an upgrade already on it. You just stick it on an SD card. You put it in there. You run the upgrade. Boom, whatever. They're gonna iron those out. I mean, some of the bugs. I mean, it's like occasionally for us, all of a sudden we've been listening to music and it crashed. The thing rebooted, but you know, it started playing music again like 20 seconds later, and we're like, okay, but but it's not been like often. But it's very nice. For example, you got an address, you put it on your phone, you plug the phone when you got into the car. All of a sudden, your navigation's all set up, ready to go. You're going where you're going.
Yeah. You know, okay. Anyway, back to the topic.
Fucking around with that technology. Now, I will say this. Look, Johnny Ive and a lot of other guys, look, even Steve Jobs and all those people were all car guys. They loved cars. Okay. I think that they're fucking around with it because they want to try to do some stuff to try to improve technology that goes into a car. They are self-professed car nuts, okay, themselves. So being the Johnny is at the driver's wheel, you know, literally, figuratively speaking, of design at Apple – I definitely see why he would want to tinker further into that technology.
So here's the thing. There have been, over the course of the week, there have been more and more reports and more leaks of more and more specific things about like who Apple's hiring, the size of the group, what they're looking at, blah, blah, blah. I saw late today there was somebody saying specifically that Apple wants to launch their car by 2017 or 18, I believe was the target.
Shit, they're not launching a car. They're not launching a car. They're not launching a car. They're not launching a car.
Here's what I think. This is yet another. Look, Apple's got tons and tons and tons of extra crap. Not extra crap. Money.
Well, they've got that too, but.
They've got tons and tons of money that they don't know what the fuck to do with.
Guys, they got close to $200 billion $200 billion in the bank.
They would be crazy if they don't have experimental skunkworks projects on a few dozen different off-the-wall things.
Sure.
They probably are doing research on an actual car, not just accessories.
Now
that doesn't
mean
it's coming to market.
Understand something. When Steve Jobs came back to Apple, the one of the things that he did is that he did kill
everything down to the essentials.
Exactly. Well, and not just that. If you were building something, there better be a reason for you to be fucking around with it. Okay? Yeah. Because the problem that Apple had in the 80s and 90s is that all these people were doing all these fucking projects and all this fucking bullshit that there was no rhyme and reason to it.
But okay. is this one of the things, do you think, that's falling apart a little bit with Jobs gone?
No. I actually believe that the reason this is happening is because there is a focus now on in-vehicle technology. Apple has built this CarPlay piece. I think that they got a taste of it. They're working with the audio manufacturers. You got your foot in the door in there, and you're gotta be like, well, shit. Look at what we can do. Fuck, we could do a hell of a lot more than what we've done. So I think that's why they're playing with that.
You don't think they're going even farther and saying, for instance, you know, integration of our products in all of these cars is all crap because the car itself isn't part of the integration.
Well, the only way to do it right is to build the whole damn car. I think it's because the technology that drives the car. I don't see any interest in me like building the car itself, or how it drives, how it moves. But what I do see is that, look, you go into any car right now. When I was futzing around with our Volkswagen, I mean, the whole car has a fucking operating system, and there's applications that control it and modify all the parameters and all this stuff. And you plug in this thing with a cable, and all of a sudden, a menu with all these parameters, how to change this, how to do this, how to do that. And I looked at it, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's like a full... your current modern car has a built-in operating system. So why wouldn't you be interested right now? You added some software, and you bolted it onto that crap, and it's kind of that moment... Remember that moment when Apple put iTunes on that Motorola shit phone?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
10 years ago. They probably realized, shit, we put this on there, and look at the software. It sucks. Right? So, look, I don't think that there's any... It's like the same thing with the TVs. I don't think they're building a fucking TV. They'll build a box or something, like whatever, to make the TV. But I think it's the same thing with a car. I'm like, shit, look, they're building this shit OS. Why don't we build software, really, and make them... have this software so you can make this work better. And remember, Tesla poached quite a lot of Apple engineers to build the software inside the Tesla. And I got to be honest.
This is part of what people are talking about right now, of course, is Apple's been getting a lot of them back, plus a lot of people from a bunch of other car companies.
I think it's more for the... I think, like I said...
And also, the other thing that came out today is specifically another thing they're doing is grabbing people on battery technology.
No, look, I will say this.
Which, of course, you can apply in all kinds of places besides
cars. Obviously. I mean, a battery technology is the life of Apple. Yeah. I will say this. Look, if they decided to make cars, it's not like it would cost them any fucking money to do it. I mean, seriously. You take a car maker, like a high-end car maker like Aston Martin. Okay, all right? Look, this is, we're talking maybe something that would consume a couple of billion a year. Mm-hmm. Well, you've got $180 billion. What the fuck is like burning $2 or $3 billion fucking around?
Yeah, and look, I think part of the sort of skunkworks approach, especially when you've got all that cash, is you try it out. If you come up with something awesome, then maybe you decide to release it. Yeah, even if you wouldn't otherwise, even if it wasn't,
or you take the technology, the pieces that you really like in other places, and you never release
a damn thing. Now I'll tell you one thing. I think there's a chance. I give it more of a chance that you are, that Apple may at some point in the future actually release a car. But I'll tell you one thing that absolutely positively will not happen. One of the reports on this says that the car that Apple is developing looks kind of like a minivan.
No. It does not look like a fucking minivan. Do you know what Johnny Ive... Look, Johnny Ive...
The one thing... Look up, listen, Apple listen. Might release no, a car, but there's no, no way no. in fucking hell listen, Apple will listen, release a idiots. Minivan.
It no way in hell. Johnny Ive really drives what comes out of that fucking company. Johnny Ive makes fun of people that drive shit cars at fucking... At Apple, okay? All right? And he, by the way, the car that he rides on right now, I was reading on this New Yorker article that they were talking about him, is a Bentley Mulsanne. Now, you want to look at what a Bentley Mulsanne looks like. I guarantee you, it looks nothing like a fucking minivan. Okay. All right. Not even close. All right. No, it's not going to look like a minivan.
You know what it will be? It'll be a giant Bondi blue iMac with wheels.
By the way, there is a picture of an interior of a Mulsanne, by the way, that in terms of the, it's got like it has a holder for an iPad that just comes out of the back seat with a video screens hanging from the top and in the back of every seat. I mean, I'm going to tweet this picture. This is like, I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. If Johnny Ive built a car, it would probably look something like this. Okay. All right.
Yeah. If Apple builds a car, they, you know, it'll be an affordable car. It'll be a high end car. But it will be a car that
under $100,000 range, I would say. Yeah, it's not going to be some like $400,000 Rolls Royce or something like that. No.
Right.
No.
Okay. So anything else? You mentioned the Johnny Ive interview in The New Yorker. I saw it, but I did not read it. Any other highlights out of that you want to mention?
It's quite a lengthy interview. I think two things that stood out to me. One is that Johnny is very conscious of the burden that he's inherited with Steve Jobs not being around anymore.
Right.
He, you know, a lot of people, a lot of what you can see from what happened during the interview, because apparently the interviewer spent a lot of time with him. So many people like said, Johnny Ive is like pissed that Steve takes all the credit for this and that. That's such a load of bullshit. You can tell very quickly. Number one, Johnny was very close to not just Steve, but you can see to his widow, to Steve's kids, to everybody, that they were obviously, you see, one of the people that apparently Steve was very, very close, okay, as a person, okay, number one. And two, that Johnny doesn't like the spotlight. He really feels burdened by it. And
yeah, that's there, why he's never on stage. He's on the video.
That is why he's never on stage. And that's why he loved working with Steve, because Steve would take the spotlight and he would do that. And he didn't have the pressure of doing that. And he doesn't relish that at all. And he feels that it's a very big burden on him to a certain extent. Now, I know that he understands that he's not shying away or walking away from it by any stretch. And he knows that Tim and you can tell that Tim Cook is trying to make the ecosystem around him as best as possible to reduce that burden on him. But I think that given how close he felt with Steve and his untimely demise, I think he also feels an obligation to carry on substantially. Probably a lot longer than he probably would have planned if Steve was still around.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little bit like nostalgic a little bit to see, you know, some of that. And
the one other important thing that came out of this interview, for those of you who didn't catch this, was that Johnny Ive made comments that got incorporated into the design of the new lightsabers for the new Star Wars movie.
Yes, he did, as a matter of fact, because apparently he's very good friends with J.J. Abrams.
Right.
So, yes, apparently he did that. So, yeah, I mean, I think that what you could tell is that Johnny is still very focused in terms of the innovation and driving the direction of the company from a product perspective. And there are a lot of things that he is still executing that are things that him and Steve had, you know, you could tell that their plans weren't short term by any stretch.
Right.
They had been thinking way out into the future. And so a lot of the stuff that he's still even doing to this day is just carrying on stuff that they had been talking about years ago and that it always took him a long time to perfect. And the watch apparently was an idea that they had discussed, okay, before mm-hmm. before he passed away. And it's just something of him executing part of that plan. So, and it seems like there's a lot of things that he is working on that are part of what they had discussed, and he's just carrying that forward into the future. But
it's going to be there. The next thing that comes out is the Apple television that you keep saying isn't coming, and then the car.
well, Steve kept saying that he fucked TV. No. Now, however, I will say this. I will tell you this. I give more odds to the car than I give to the TV. And I will tell you why. Because even Steve himself was also a car buff, and he bitched at how much he hated technology in cars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, frankly,
this is both television and cars sort of do line up directly with Apple's MO, which is find something that's out there that everybody's sort of okay with, but has some clear deficiencies that you can innovate in and do something where people are like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot more sense. And then, completely change how people interact with the technology. Both of these things are in that area where there's frustration with the experience and there's room for that kind of leap for somebody who goes in and does it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it may be. Anyway. All right.
Time to wrap this up. And then we'll come back with our exciting lightning round back after this.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you. So this is a break, this is a wonderful break. A wonderful break, yes indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break, yes. This is a break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, it is a break, and now the break is over.
Okay, we're back. So the first most important question before we actually start this lightning round, Yvonne.
Yeah.
1 minute, 2 minute, or 3 minute rounds?
Two.
Okay. Sorry, Matt. We're going to stick with two again for this time. So... And, okay.
Where's the bell anyway?
Yeah,
is the bell dead?
If you remember last week, Alex stole the bell.
Yes.
The bell has not turned up yet. Alex says that he thinks the bell hasn't really turned down, so it doesn't need to turn up. but he thinks he put it in his room somewhere.
Okay. Anyway.
And right, I said, if I didn't find it by next week, I'd just buy myself another bell. But he says, if I buy myself another bell, he's taking that one too.
Well, this one, we may have to like secure more aggressively. Anyway.
Yes. I'll like nail it to my desk or something.
That's not a bad idea. Okay. All right. Okay. Lightning round.
Lightning round. Here we go. Boom. I'll start off. I've been playing with a couple of alternative keyboards for iOS. This is something that's been available on Android for a long time. Specifically, I've tried Swipe and Swift Key, which are ones where instead of poking the keys, you sort of swipe your finger in the shape of the word. Swipe, it always rubbed me the wrong way, and I kept going back to the normal keyboard and getting frustrated. Swift Key, I started using, and I adapted to it very quickly, even though they're both fundamentally the same concept. Something about the implementation in Swift Key was nicer for me, but the damn thing was crashing all the time still. And I noticed they actually released an update today that makes it crash less, supposedly. I want to use it, but as long as it crashes a lot, it makes it kind of hard. I kind of sort of recommend Swift Key, but not quite. They need to stabilize it a little bit more. I haven't tried a bunch of others. Have you tried alternative keyboards, Yvonne?
No, I don't see this thing about the swiping thing.
You can do words a lot faster than poking the letters.
I don't see how. I'm a guy who like types like super duper fast, and I still don't understand how that's supposed to make me do it faster. I tried it on a couple of Android phones to do it. I was a disaster.
Well, it's the kind of thing, though, to be honest, though, you it's not something you can try for 5 minutes. In order to get the hang of it and sort of get into that mode, you have to use it for a few days.
Fuck it. I don't want to. As a matter of fact, what I've been doing more is like talking to Siri to have it type for me is what I've been doing.
Okay. And our 2 minutes are basically up. We had 3 seconds left. Next up. Oh, I know. Before we get to other topics, I do want to mention I did finish some books and movies and stuff. I will keep all 3 things that I finished this week within my 2 minutes. So movies. I watched the first Harry Potter movie, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
You're like hitting the new movies real quick.
Well, no, I mean, I watched this one with it when I was in the theaters, but we're watching them again, and we were showing Alex, okay, and you know, we were watching with Alex. I watched this one off Amazon streaming. It's a good movie. It's amazing, like, to see at this point, you know, the stars of the thing are now all adults, but here they were little kids, and it's like, oh wow. Anyway, nice movie. I also watched, speaking of new movies, the 1953 animated Peter Pan from Disney. I watched that as well. It's remarkable just how racist and sexist that movie is. I mean, it's all like family classic, et cetera, but like, you know, you've got the Indians doing sort of stereotypical Indian things, and you've got, you know, the sort of damsels in distress and the traditional roles and all this kind of stuff. And it's a nice, cute movie, but it really hasn't aged that well, because you really notice that stuff. And then finally the book, and I'm only leaving 40 seconds for it, but this is the best of the bunch. Actually, I listened to it on Audible. It wasn't a physical book, but American Emperor, which was about Aaron Burr, who, you know, most people, the main thing they remember about Aaron Burr is he was a vice president of the United States. He killed Alexander Hamilton, who was the treasurer of the United States. And that's sort of what he's most known for. But there's actually a lot of additional history here. There's, of course, the 1800 battle with Thomas Jefferson over the presidency. He was supposed to be Thomas Jefferson's vice president, but because of the way the Electoral College worked back in those days, they tied, and it was supposed to be whoever comes in first gets the presidency, whoever comes in second gets the vice presidency. So it was the first election that was thrown into the House. And it was a very, very interesting thing, even though they were in the same party, which sort of soured their relationship forever. And then even more interestingly, and I, you know, this is not like a secret or something, but it's not something I'd been particularly aware of. There's this whole thing with Aaron Burr then trying to foment a rebellion with some of the Western states and have them secede from the Union and do all this other stuff and go to war with Mexico and all these things. He was tried for treason and ended up, and, you know, basically this guy went from being vice president of the United States to being tried for treason. He was acquitted, but he ended up sort of living out his days in sort of obscure misery, having fallen quite a bit from that height. And very, very interesting history. And so... Worth looking into if you don't know that part of American history is interesting. Okay, I went over a little bit, but those were my 3 things for this time.
And
you next. Haven't read anything or watched anything, have you?
No.
Bye.
Not yet. Okay, next topic. The Obama initiative to change immigration rules and who is going to be deported and all this has been blocked by a Texas judge for the time being.
Well, let's see what happens in appeal. That's all I'll say about that.
One very interesting thing here, and I saw this in one article about this, but it hasn't been prominent in the coverage. If you actually look at why it was blocked, it was not blocked because of a judgment that says this is an unconstitutional overreach by the president and he's not allowed to do this or anything sort of at a high level like that. It was blocked because they say, according to the law, he was required to post the new policy for 30 days for comments before implementing it. And he did not do that.
Okay, so I mean, shit. So basically, so that's what I said. Let's see what happens. I mean, basically, get around that in 2 seconds. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it was a procedural objection to the way it was done.
That's what I figured. There had to be something.
To the actual actions.
It will
get appealed. It'll go through the courts. Blah blah blah. But it looks like this is, you know, a speed bump and sort of a black eye, as opposed to something that'll actually stop anything.
Right.
Any other thoughts on that?
No. I just, like I said, I think that this thing is just like you said, it's a speed bump. Yep. Nothing.
Okay, we got left that one with 30 seconds to spare. So before our next 2 minutes, I'll mention a correction from last week's show. I actually said that the shooting that happened there, theoretically over the parking spot, but probably actually because these people were Muslim, was Charlotte. It was not Charlotte. It was, of course, Chapel Hill. I noticed this as I was putting the show together, but did not insert a correction at the time. So
somewhere North Carolina. Well, you were. You know, it starts with a C. It's in North Carolina. You were close.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, next topic. Scott Walker. There's been a lot of people talking about Scott Walker as, like, the hot new front runner for the Republican nomination, blah, blah, blah. There have been a lot of people
talking about... Sounds sexy to me for the Republicans. I mean, you know, I mean, probably, I mean, you know, compared to some of the others. I mean, he's been Mr. Anti-Union, and he's been a budget cutter and a whole bunch of other stuff. I don't know. I could see that the I could see the attractiveness to the to the Republican voters, you know, for a guy like Scott Walker.
Well, look, here's the thing. I think this is mainly hype from Walker supporters, and I don't think it'll last. I mean, I do buy the argument that he's probably got a better shot at this and is going to be more influential than, say, you know, Santorum or probably a bunch of these other guys, or Jindal, or there are a bunch of people who are below him on the potential list here. But I think in the end, he's not going to garner the overall support and be able to run it through the whole length. I could be proved wrong. I mean, he's a viable candidate in many ways. So it could end up, and he's in sort of the, he's in competition for the establishment Republican slot. So it's sort of, he's not competing against Rand Paul for the Libertarians, or Huckabee and Santorum for the religious ones. He's competing for that centrist spot with George Bush, and to a lesser extent than Christie, although Christie's just been, you know, every time you look at him, he's weaker. So he may not even make it to Iowa. Anyway, I don't see him running it, but I could be wrong. We'll see how it plays out. But I think this is one of these things where he's trying to make a big splash and have everybody pay attention to him, but it's not gonna last. There was something else about Walker. What else was I gonna say about Walker, Yvonne?
I don't recall anything else that you could say about him. I mean, I think you covered everything.
Oh, yes, I know. People are making a big deal out of the fact he didn't finish college. And I think this is somewhat silly. Of course, we've had presidents before.
Frickin' Steve Jobs or Bill Gates didn't finish college.
Steve Jobs and Bill Gates didn't finish college. Harry Truman didn't finish college.
Right.
The fact that he was able
to... I finished college, and I'm proud of it, but I'm not going to fucking discount somebody because they didn't.
The fact that he is... the fact that he is he made a success of himself despite not finishing probably says more for him than if he'd reached the same level of success with having finished successfully. You know, so I don't think this is really a negative, and certainly the Democrats would be fools to try to make it a negative if they're going out there and saying, you know, nobody who didn't finish college is worth shit. Well, guess what? More people didn't finish college than did in this country. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's not true. A particularly message. One thing that I have heard pointed out that I do grant this is I forget who was tweeting about this, and they were actually a conservative tweeting about this, basically said, look, he dropped out of college, but the stupid thing is not that he dropped out of the college. The stupid thing is he dropped out of college as a senior with 3 months to go. And like, if you've put in 3.5 fucking years, finish.
I know. Well, anyway,
so that's that topic. And my screen goes blank. Okay, next topic, and we are almost done here. Half the country is like going into an ice age.
I tell you something, it's cold here. I don't know how cold's up in
Is it like 60?
It's 45 degrees.
Oh my god, it's 45. So cold.
Look, dude. I was frizzing by it. I went to the gym and I'm like, well,
you know, freezing specifically refers to the temperature at which water freezes, which is 32.
Go suck it. Look, I mean, Jesus, give me a break. I know what it means, but it's very cold. Okay, can I be honest? And apparently it's forecast to, what the hell the cover said? It said that the wind chill was going to get to some freezing temperature today.
Yeah. So are wind we going to have one of these articles like about like the orange crop overnight. Being destroyed or something?
I don't think it's going to be long enough that that's going to happen. So we're not, I don't think we're that concerned.
So we'll be able to have our orange juice anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, you're bitching about Florida, but of course the whole Northeast has been like,
oh God, under I was looking at some of the temperatures over here that I have on my computer. Pittsburgh is at 0 degrees right now. Philadelphia is 10. Atlanta is at 19. Well, Charlotte's at 16.
And where my sister lives near Boston, they've had like 8 feet of snow.
Yeah, and apparently, I think that tonight they were gonna break the record for the most snow in Boston history
ever. Now, one of the things, of course, that you whenever this happens, you get the usual comments about, haha, blizzard. Where's that global warming now? Ha ha ha.
Oh God, idiots.
And of course, yes, that's idiotic because global warming is about global averages, not local things. And in fact, more so than that, global warming actually predicts that there will be increased snow events in certain areas, including the American East Coast, because global warming results in more moisture in the atmosphere over the oceans, which when you get a nor'easter means that moisture gets put back over land, which results in more snow. So, you know, look, these are very complicated
this
systems.
This is a climate. I keep saying a warming. It's a climate change.
Not a weather change.
It's an overall climate change. And certain areas actually have been said that we'll get cooler as well at the same time. They're talking about how, you know, England will probably get cooler because of impact on the Gulf Stream, okay? Because of all the melting ice. It's whatever. Idiots.
Okay, we got a couple things real quick. We've got a couple more lightnings to go. Lightnings? Bolts?
Lightnings?
Whatever we call these things. Anyway,
I like a lightnings word.
Lightnings. We talked about the radicalism for a little bit earlier, but you had mentioned earlier specifically Netanyahu calling on people to move to Israel. Any specific thoughts on that?
There were quite a lot of European Jews who were just fucking insulted by it. They were saying, really, Netanyahu? So wait a minute, my entire family lived here an entire life, and what you're saying is in the face of radicalism that we should just fucking like just bend over and just move? What the fuck's wrong with you? You know, what it's trying to do is like there were quite a lot of people in Europe insulted.
One person point out, of course, that, you know, this is a lot of this is election posturing of Netanyahu because the election's coming up in a couple of weeks there. Yeah. However, that if all the European Jews who he's encouraging to move there actually move there, that would be one way to guarantee he would lose because most of them disagree with him radically.
That, absolutely.
And,
yes.
And are much more liberal than Likud and Netanyahu are.
Absolutely.
Okay, next. Yep. That was less than 2 minutes there.
Next!
Walmart minimum wages.
Well, I just Walmart used to be, when Sam Walton was alive, a place that people actually wanted to go work at. Okay. And
when did he die? This has been a while.
Oh, gosh. It's been over 20 years.
Yeah.
Well, because he was very generous with pay and benefits to employees. Okay. And in the times of his death, I mean, honestly, they've become a fucking slave drivers. I mean, he used to give a lot of people stock. And you know, you work at a company, he hands out stock, and I work, but he's handing out stock. Let's face it. I mean, if you're out there, you're busting your balls, and, you know, you're making a good wage, but then, you know, you get to share in the company profits by just profiting from the fact that the stock is growing. I mean, that makes certainly for a person that is probably more likely to stay with a company over a long term and reduce turnover, and obviously going to make them more money. I mean, obviously, for many years, Walmart
did
stuff.
Yeah, so what did Walmart do this week?
They raised everybody's wages. They took them from, they said that they're going to raise the minimum from like the minimum wage to $9, and that by next year, if they perform certain goals, is going to raise the lowest wage that you would get if you do these things to $10, and then actually make people, heaven forbid, eligible for merit increases, which apparently I guess they weren't.
Now, what do you think is the ultimate motivation here? Are they trying to avoid unions? Are they trying to avoid legislation? Or are they just realizing that they need to do this for retention?
I think it's the first thing is retention. I think they were finding it that it was becoming increasingly difficult to hire people at you know what they were offering compared to what other people are offering. I think that is a thing. I think
Yvonne, are you actually saying that there might be a market driven solution to increased wages here rather than some sort of intervention?
No, I mean, I think, look, markets always drive. I'm a believer in markets. I mean, I think markets drive certain behavior. I mean, I don't disagree with having a regulation of a minimum wage, but I think that they got wound up. Let's say we haven't moved the minimum wage in a long time. I think the market wound up pushing them before anything else did. So,
okay, next, the quote unquote ceasefire in the Ukraine.
So basically,
they made a big deal of this ceasefire. Of course, there have been ceasefires before that didn't last. In this case, it almost immediately was clear that there was still fighting going on all over the place. But the Russian side basically said, this town wasn't included. This town didn't count. We're taking that town.
Right.
And that's where we are. And Putin is, said things like, this town, I saw one quote that was something along the lines of about the conflict that Putin says that the Russians have absolutely nothing positively to do with. Putin says that the people in the town better surrender or die.
God fucking bastard. I swear to God. Look,
of course, the Europeans still insist on they talk about the rebels or the whatever. And this is another place where they're saying something political that's obviously not true, and they all know it's not true, but for whatever reason, they pull their punches verbally. But, it's not just a bunch of rebels. It's the Russian army.
The president of Ukraine knew that when he walked into that summit over there, and I read a different article, I can't remember who posted it, said, look, this is such a bunch of bullshit. I'm walking in here, I'm going to negotiate with this fucking asshole, and I can't believe a fucking word he says. I mean, that's the reality. So I don't know.
Okay. Next. We talked about radicalism, but there's some sort of radicalism summit going on. What the hell's up with that?
Well, I guess Obama said that he was calling for one. And there's been quite a lot of talk about that and how to try to address it. But it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. I think that we've got certain cultural things that are driving these people into this kind of behavior. And I mean, unless that changes, I mean, I don't think that we're going to get this kind of influx of people going into that's going to subside. As simple as that.
Yep. Okay.
So, I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but there's just a lot of attention being paid to it.
These things are all for show, I think. You're not going to see anything real come out of them. Okay, next and last. Rudy Giuliani had this wonderful quote a couple days ago. I hadn't mentioned this earlier. I just brought it up. Let me read the quote here.
Yeah.
This is, of course, as usual, sort of Republicans being sort of open and embracing to, people. Anyway, as I shouldn't generalize, but they have that reputation. And so Giuliani counters that by saying, I do not believe, and I know this is a horrible thing to say, but I do not believe that the president loves America. He doesn't love you. He doesn't love me. He wasn't brought up the way you were brought up, and I was brought up through love of this country.
What the fuck is this jerk off talking about? I mean, I'm just...
And so he followed this up, because a lot of people were saying this was sort of a racist dog whistle kind of thing.
You think?
where he's basically saying he's not like us. He's that. He's like that, you know, black Muslim, socialist, whatever.
Right.
Today, Giuliani tried to make this better.
By saying what?
By saying that, some people thought it was racist. I thought that was a joke. Since he was brought up by a white mother, a white grandfather, went to white schools, and most of this he learned from white people. This isn't racism. This is socialism or possibly anti-colonialism.
Oh, man. Well.
9-11.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, there's a reason that Rudy Giuliani flamed out pretty early when he tried to run for president in 2007.
Yeah.
And you can see it here. You know, maybe he wasn't trying to be, I'm sure he wasn't overtly saying, I'm going to say something racist now. But it is indicative of sort of this viewpoint of, you know, there's us, and then there are all these other people that aren't really quite real Americans.
Right.
You know, and maybe they're, you know, maybe it's because they speak Spanish. Maybe it's because they're black. Maybe it's because this, maybe it's because that, you know, but they're not sort of the prototypical, you know, view of like what America is in these people's heads. And you always sort of think back to it feels like, and this could be wrong, but it feels like what all of these folks are pining for is, the Andy Griffith Show, you know,
or Leave It to Beaver, or something. This week, so the Powerball for close to $600 million was, you know, three people won yet last week. Well, one of them, look, they started selling Powerball in Puerto Rico about 4 months ago. Okay. So one of the winners was in Puerto Rico. I don't know if you saw this.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know if the one thing that you didn't see, but it's been covered in Puerto Rican newspapers, has been quite a lot of like very racial vitriol against Puerto Ricans. Well, especially from a whole bunch of people that apparently don't know that Puerto Rico is part of the United States, and saying just a whole bunch of idiotic things about the fact that why did somebody who's not American win the fucking Powerball, and a whole bunch of idiotic shit, racist stuff like this. And, you know, I know that it's, you know, look, there's just a lot of people that are idiots out there. What do you want me to tell you? I mean, it's just, they say stupid shit like this. I'm just like, yeah, I'm like, I just had to shake my head of just going, oh God, what a bunch of idiots. I'm like, whatever.
And
it pays nothing to even try to respond. There's some people I know trying to go into social media and get into an argument with people. I'm like saying, why bother? They're just fucking morons.
Yeah. And I read you the full quote from Giuliani, but just to show you how sort of, you know, it's very easy to step in these. I mean, the summaries people give, like if you go for headline summaries, like I'm looking at one right now that just came across from Talking Points memo. Well, actually, first, the one in the New York Times, the headline was Giuliani, Obama had a white mother, so I'm not racist. And yeah, exactly. So I can't be a racist because Obama had a white mom. Yeah. What? Okay. Whatever. I think we're done here.
I think we're done. Yep.
Thanks everybody for joining us once again. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com. I'm available on Twitter at @abelsmay. Yvonne is at @iambo. We love to hear from you. And actually, one thing, I'd like to hear people's thoughts on this. We've been thinking about like additional ways to promote the show. And one of the ways is, of course, to set up a Facebook page for it. What do folks think of that? Because also one of the things is, you know, if we ever wanted to, like, you know, do, you know, pay a few bucks and do some advertising on Facebook, apparently you have to have a Facebook page with at least 50 followers to even do that. So,
oh,
we,
boy.
Yeah, that's, oh, a, that's a tall
climb. No, come on. No, come on.
We can do it. We can do it.
We can do it.
Anyway. If you guys have any ideas on other ways we could, you know, get a few more people in the fold to listen, let us in. Let us know. You know, but, and I've now got Alex climbing on top of my head, so it really is time to go. So,
But they didn't throw anything at your head. So not this week. Progress.
Not this week.
Not this week.
So, Alex, do you want to say goodbye?
Bye.
Close enough. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.